Praise God. Let's turn in our Bibles to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 10, verses 40 to 42. Matthew 10, 40 to 42, beginning with verse 40. Jesus speaking, "He that receiveth you, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward." Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord God. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we have been called, we have been justified, we have been glorified, and we have been sent. As you were sent, Lord Jesus, so we are sent to continue your work here on earth, Lord. And I pray, Father, that we would fulfill that great commission that you've given each one of us, Lord, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Father, I pray that you'll speak to hearts here today. I pray that you'll touch us, Lord, with your presence. We thank you, Lord, that in your presence is fullness of joy and mercies forevermore, Lord. Speak to us by your Spirit, Lord. Whatever I leave out, put in, Lord God, that we might leave here with a full meal this morning, in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Please be seated. Hallelujah. You know, we hear WWJD all the time. What would Jesus do? Well, I say WDJD. What did Jesus do? And in light of that, what should we do? We should go and do likewise, as Jesus did. Amen? Amen? He said, "The works that I do, greater work shall you do, because I go unto my Father." Praise God. You know, in the Middle East, they have a plant called a Judas tree. And I'm told, I've never seen one, but I'm told it has a beautiful, bright red flower that it produces that is very attractive to bees. The problem is that the nectar inside is an opiate that is deadly to bees. And so whenever you see a Judas tree, you're likely to see a pile of dead bees at the base. And I was thinking of that because the world that we live in is full of dead bees. People who have been attracted to things by appearance or that they seem good, whether they are lifestyles or whether they are belief systems or whatever, and found out too often when it's too late that they've been deceived unto death, just like those bees. There is a way that seems right to a man,
right,
but the way, the end therein is the way of death. You have to ask someone who doesn't believe in the Bible and in Jesus, what is the authority for your belief system? Because we all have the same questions as human beings. Where did I come from? What am I doing here? Where am I going? What's the purpose of my life? And people have found any number of belief systems to try to answer those questions, but you have to ask them, where does the authority for that system come from? Ours, we know, comes from the very throne room of God. And it's transmitted through this book which can so readily be proven to be the Word of God through the fulfilled prophecies and so many other things, so many other ways. That is our authority. You have to have a reason. If you're going to put your eternal destiny in someone's hands, they better be speaking with authority. Amen?
Amen.
Why did Jesus come? What did he come to do? Hebrews 2, 14, 15. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death, his own death, Jesus' death, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. What did Jesus do? He came to abolish death and bring life and immortality to light through the gospel. Praise be to God. How does the devil have power of death? Because the Bible tells us that he is the accuser of the brethren. And whenever he sees us do something wrong or say something wrong, he can go right to God and say, "See, your child sinned, and the wages of sin are death. Kill him." And what does God say if we're a child of God? It's covered by the blood. Hallelujah. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise be to God. He has no authority over us if we are in Christ Jesus. Jesus came to abolish death and bring life and immortality to light through the gospel. So what should we do in response? The same. John 20, 21 to 23. Then said Jesus to them again, to his disciples, "Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit," that means to forgive, "they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." Not only have we received the Holy Ghost, but as I said last week, we have gone from the empty tomb to the upper room. That's where we receive the endowment of power from on high. Amen? And we have received the baptism in the Holy Ghost as well. You know, as I was thinking about that, I was wondering, did Jesus receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost at the Jordan River? When the dove descended upon him, or the Spirit as a dove, we hear John's words, who baptized him. He said, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him." He himself was told by the Spirit, John I'm talking about, "Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost." You know, Jesus did everything in the power of the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil for 40 days. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For he has anointed me to preach the gospel and to do all those other wonderful things that he did." I'm not saying this, it just occurred to me for the first time in 30 years that maybe Jesus received the baptism in the Holy Ghost too at the Jordan River. And he gave us the same power, the same Spirit, though in lesser measure. And we too can bring life and immortality to light to others through the gospel, through preaching it, through telling people that if their commitment to Christ is sincere, then their sins are forgiven, just as mine are and yours are. And that they have not come into condemnation, or won't, because they have passed from death unto life. We can tell people that if they make a sincere commitment to the Lord. Praise be to God. What else did Jesus do? Luke 19:10. "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Not only to save lost souls, but to recover that which was lost in that ultimate lostness. Everybody is lost, whether they know it or not. And Jesus came to restore that which he took not away in the first place. Whatever we have forfeited through foolishness, through weakness, through whatever, he can restore. He came to do that. So what should we do? Seek out the lost and tell them the good news that no matter what they did or what they might have been involved in, right up to the present moment, can be redeemed. Praise God. And they can become productive kingdom citizens with all of the benefits that apply to that citizenship. Remember, Jesus told his disciples that, speaking of the last days, unless the great tribulation was shortened, there would no flesh be saved. No one would survive. And Jesus, in a person's life, can shorten this world's tribulation that falls upon each person who commits their life to Jesus, and they need to be told that by us. That whatever their particular form of tribulation, Jesus can shorten it. Jesus can lessen it. Jesus can take the sting out of it, whatever it might be. God can restore the years that the locust has eaten. We're told that by the prophet Joel, aren't we? Whatever form that locust, and locust here is representative of the curse that is upon the creation, whatever curse we have been living under, whatever form it might have taken, he can redeem it. You know, we've all put our energies in the past to things that didn't profit. And God can restore our energy and redeem it and put us on paths, true paths, to dwell in. His path, which is always the right path.
Amen.
Praise be to God. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right in every circumstance, in every situation? Lord, why did you allow this to happen to me? I have to realize that the judge of all the earth always does right. If he's allowing something to happen, it's for my own good. Why? Because he loves me. And true love does that which is good for the object of its love. Praise be to God. He can rebuild the waste places of a person's life and grow flowers in the former leach fields.
Praise God.
You know, we have a leach field out back, and if you notice, that's where the grass grows the fastest and the thickest and thickest and everything else. But, you know, we were watching a travelogue on Israel the other night. It was mainly on food, you know, that the foods that are common to Israel and to the Palestinians as well. But you can see how the prophet Isaiah's words have come to pass. There were all these stands just filled with fruits and vegetables, and they were showing the fields that they have irrigated, and they produce such wonderful flowers and plants and trees. Isaiah said, "For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose." And we know that this could happen in a person's spirit as well.
Amen.
Whatever was wasted, whatever was dry, whatever was not producing any fruit can be redeemed and regenerated and turned into a fountain of living water. Praise be to God. What did Jesus do? Luke 12. I'm going to be reading parts of verses 49 and 51. "I am come to send fire on the earth," Jesus said. "Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division." Not peace, but a sword. What should we do? We should be warning people too of the judgment to come, of the fire. God said he'd never destroy the earth with a flood again Next time it'll be with fire. And instruct them in no uncertain terms to come out of spiritual Babylon. Just as the voice from heaven spoke to the people on earth in Revelation 18, 4 and 5, he told the earth dwellers, "Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities." Aren't you glad the good news of the new covenant is that God will remember our sins and iniquities no more, forever? Praise be to God, and people need to know that. They need to know that when they draw a line in the sand and come out of the world and into the kingdom of God, that they can, in the name of the Lord, be delivered. Amen. Praise be to God. And that their sins, too, can be put away forever and ever. By the same token, the Apostle John tells us in 1 John 3:5, "And ye know that he, Jesus, was manifested to take away our sins."
Hallelujah.
In other words, to take our sins upon himself and to pay the penalty for them and to remove the power of them over us and give us the promise that one day the very presence of sin will not exist in our lives anymore forever.
Praise God.
God has just been working this scripture in me. I shared it last week too. Isaiah 38:17. "Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of destruction, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back."
Glory.
Praise be to God. In love to my soul, he did that. In love to your soul, he did that. And his love extends to every soul upon this earth. And he can do the same thing. Deliver them from the pit of destruction and cast all of their sins behind his back. And tell me who has an arm long enough to reach around the back of God and touch those sins anymore. They are gone. Praise be to God. Just as in the land of Goshen, where God's chosen dwelt in the midst of Egypt, were protected by God's mercy, so God, it says in Exodus 8:23, will put a division between my people and thy people, Moses told Pharaoh, so that when darkness covered the earth, all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. That's the way it is with us. There is gross darkness covering this world, but we have light in our dwellings. I have light up here. I can see things that the world can't see because I've been told they're going to come to pass. I can see through spiritual light things that others can't see, and you can too. And it's up to us to warn them, to tell them that this light, Jesus, is the light of the world. You know, I probably shared this before, but when I was growing up, I had a friend, Peter Van Vliet, who lived on a farm. And on his farm was a coal mine, an abandoned coal mine. No, it was an iron mine, actually. And it was a big hole on top of this mountain, and it went down into the mountain. And he knew it so well that he used to take us, his friends, into that mine. And he would go deeper and deeper, and he'd have the flashlight, and then he'd lead you to a place where you were on this narrow ledge that overlooked a drop-off that just went on forever. And when he got you there, he turned the light off. And there you are, in that gross darkness, it says in Revelation is going to come upon the earth where people will be gnawing their tongues. It's a darkness that you can actually feel. It's so dark. And when he finally, in mercy, would turn the flashlight on, you were so grateful, and you never went in that mine again. That was dangerous stuff. You know, we did crazy things when we were kids. Any one of us could have slipped and fallen down in there and been lost forever. But when Jesus turns his flashlight on, the light of truth, the darkness comprehends it not, and nothing can extinguish it ever again. Amen? Amen? Praise be to God. We have the sword of the Spirit, which is able to divide asunder. He said, I didn't come to bring peace, I came to bring a sword, to divide. Separating, in some cases, families, in some cases, friends and acquaintances. And when it's preached in the power of the Spirit, it will pierce the darkness in any life and pull any burning brand out of the fire. Amen? Amen. Praise be to God. Yes, it may divide friendships and families, but what can man give in exchange for his soul? Amen. You rather have a good buddy, or would you rather have eternal life? What did Jesus do? 1 John 3:8, latter part of that verse. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. He did it at the cross. Hallelujah. Making a way for those taken captive at the devil's will to go free and to walk in the glorious liberty of children of God. What should we do? Remember always that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And that Jesus has given us power over the devil and all his wiles. Luke 10:19, Jesus said to his disciples, Behold, I give unto you power, meaning authority, to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Psalm 91, verse 13, Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Why? Because he hath set his love upon me. We do that in response to his love. We love him because he first loved us. Therefore, God says, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. But wait, I had a friend. And he died when he was only 25 years old. Where's the long life for him? It's just begun. He's got all of eternity stretching before him. That's the real prolonging of days, isn't it? Eternity.
That's right.
In the presence of God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. People know, they need to know, that they can get mad at hell and not take it anymore. Refuse to take it anymore. And whatever the devil has been dishing out can be thrown into the garbage compactor. Amen. And crushed like a big bug. Amen?
Amen?
Because greater is he who can be in them, too, than he that is in the world. And they need to know that. You know, I was reading about these submarines off the west coast that go down 2 miles down into the ocean. And they have to have these enormous, thick steel plates surrounding the hull of it, or else it'll be crushed by the pressure of the water at that depth. And yet, while they're down there, they're shooting pictures of little fish who are down there 2 miles deep down in the ocean, and they're not affected by the pressure. Now, why is that? Because they have pressure within them that equalizes the pressure from without. And we have the same thing. Whatever pressures may come at us from the outside, we have the greater one within that neutralizes that pressure. Amen? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. What did Jesus do? Mark 10:45, For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. What should we do? We want to rule with Christ? We need to become slaves, don't we? Bond servants. Jesus washed his disciples' feet. Jesus left heaven's glory in order to minister to our needs. And we should be willing to reject any kind of reward or glory for ministering to others. We're being trained for eternity. And the best way to strengthen our hearts for the long haul is to reach down and pick somebody else up. Amen? Amen? What better exercise is there than that? Hallelujah. We don't have to necessarily be on the front lines in ministry, but be willing to be a part of the supply lines, helping others to help others. That's what Jesus was talking about here. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. If we can't go to Africa to minister the gospel, we can support somebody who can. And we get the same reward that they get, even though we're on the supply lines. You know, after Ziklag, David, remember, he lost everything. The Amalekites came in, wiped out their whole camp, took their families captive, all their goods, and he asked the Lord, should I go after them? Yes, go after them. You'll recover everything. And he left a group of people behind to watch their equipment while they were gone fighting. And when he got back, he was dividing up the spoils after his great victory. And some of the people said, well, those people who were left behind, they shouldn't get anything. They didn't fight with us. And David not only said, but he made it a law in Israel that those who guard the stuff, those who are on the supply lines, would be rewarded just as much as those who are actually in the battle. And it was a law for as long as he and his son were king. You know, there are brothers and sisters in different parts of the world who are giving their own lives as a ransom for other lives, just as Jesus did. And though we may never be called to give in that dramatic a fashion, we can give a cup of cold water to another believer in another part of the world. We should be praying every day for our brothers and sisters in Christ in Syria, in Egypt, in North Korea, in China, in Pakistan, all these places where they are grossly persecuted, and we should be helping ministries that are helping them. And we too will partake of the reward. Even interceding on their behalf, we will get reward. Just as much as those who are actually on the ground ministering in person. A word of encouragement is ministry in itself. I remember Richard Wurmbrand, founder of Voice of the Martyrs, who said that when he was early in his marriage and his family, he was so poor that he could hardly afford to support them. But yet he always heartily complimented his wife whenever she put this thin soup on the table. It's so good. It's delicious. He was always complimenting her. He was always lifting her up. And we can do the same thing with other people. We can boost someone by a word. How many times has the Lord upheld us? By the word of his power. Amen? Praise be to God. Hear the heart of Jeremiah when he beseeches in Jeremiah 22:29, he says, O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. People need to know that the saving, delivering, redeeming word of God is close to them. As Paul said, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. I never understood that before, but then I saw it's so simple. The gospel, salvation, is so simple a child can understand it. If you will speak with your mouth, confess the Lord Jesus, agree with everything that the Bible says about him. That he was who he says he was. That he did what he said he did. You can be saved if you believe in your heart that Christ, God raised him from the dead. You too can be saved. It's so simple. The Word of God is near people. They just don't know it. The truth is so close, but they don't know it unless they have a preacher. How beautiful are the feet of those who publish good news. In the natural, I have really ugly feet. I have to admit it. But God says they're beautiful because I preach the gospel to other people. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. You know, the Bible says that the Lord will not always strive with man. But today is still the day of His mercy. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the time. Amen? Not only for unbelievers, but for believers as well. Today, now is the time for deliverance. Now is the time for healing. Now is the time for being restored and having those waste places be rebuilt in our lives. We read in Lamentations that if it were not for His mercy, we would all be consumed. But His compassions are new every morning. Remember last week I said that that word compassions means tender love. We need to walk in the power of that tender love this morning. How can we share? How can we feed others if we're not fed ourselves? Remember when Jesus was on the shore of Tiberias, when he restored Peter. Peter, do you love me? Yes, feed my lambs. But what did he do before that? He fed Peter. He gave him a breakfast of fish. He fed him and then he said, now you go out and feed others. Let's walk in the power of that tender love. Let's walk in the light of it. Let's walk in the fullness of it, in the confidence of it, in the peace of it, in the glory of it, in the wonder of it. That tender love is a thing to be wondered at. It's an amazing love. Hallelujah. That we might have something of genuine value to share with someone else. What should we do? Everything that Jesus did. For God so loved the world that He sent Him to keep them from perishing and that they might have eternal life. And people need to know that. There's a whole world out there that needs to know that. Jesus did His part. Now He calls upon us to do ours. He said, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. Same gospel, same Holy Ghost power, same message, same results can accrue right before our very eyes as we're obedient. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We quote that all the time, but so is His work for us to do. It's the same as it was yesterday. It's the same as it was in John Wesley's day, or D.L. Moody's day, or Andrew Murray's day, or any of the great heroes of the faith. It's the same work to do. Praise be to God. What did Jesus do? He ministered one-on-one, didn't He? Whether it was little Zacchaeus up the tree, the tax collector, or whether it was blind Bartimaeus, whoever it was, He ministered one-on-one. And that's what people want. They want individual attention. And they need to know that there's someone who knows their problems, who knows their situation, who can minister to them one-on-one. I preached last week on El Bethel. Remember? Jacob came to Bethel, the house of God, but after his experiences and wrestling with the Lord, he came and named it El Bethel, the God of the house of God. And that's where we have to come and lead others to, that there's a God, that it's not this house, it's the God of this house. It's not this word that I'm sharing with you. we need to tell them? It's the God that the word points to. El Bethel, the God of the house of God. Praise be to God. And we can introduce them. That's our job. We can't save anybody. We just introduce them to the one who can. Jesus Christ. And they need to know that they too can have a place at the Lord's table. Amen? Amen. Praise be to God. Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord. Father, we read all the time what Jesus did, but you're calling us to the same works, Lord. We can't be the Savior, but we can point people to the Savior. We can tell them how to be saved. We can tell them about Jesus. Hallelujah. The Lord of heaven and earth. The Lord of glory. Father, help us to be willing to do that. Help us to be willing to do that. You know, I want to just add something. It was something that I read and it got to me. You know, we are called to be obedient to the Lord. And this man asked the question, what is the last thing that God told you to do that you haven't done? And I was racking my brains. And, I have something for myself. I'm not going to share it with you. But think about that. What's the last thing that God told you to do that you haven't done? And then to wonder why we don't have Him in all this fullness. And why we're not walking in the power that we should. Because there's something left undone. And until it's done, we can't have that. We're not going to have that. He's waiting. He's waiting there. I'm waiting for you to be obedient to what I told you to do. As soon as you do it, I'll open up the windows of heaven. Father, we just pray, Lord, that you'll show us what it is that we possibly have failed to do that is blocking your amazing blessings from flowing into our lives at this particular moment in our life, Lord. Father, we give you all praise, honor, and glory. Be unto your name. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise be to God. We'll close with a song. The altar will be open for prayer. WDJD, what did Jesus do?